And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
He owns and operates the Pack-A-Day podcast that airs 365 days a year with over 12 million views on YouTube. A new adventure begins. It's time for the Pack-A-Day radio show with Andy Herman on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
With the 25th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers and hosts for the 2025 NFL Draft.
Uh-oh.
Select Jordan Morgan, tackle, Arizona.
Good morning, Packers fans. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Monday. Welcome into the Pack-A-Day radio show. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. 1 year ago today, the Green Bay Packers were getting ready to select Jordan Morgan in the first round. That was courtesy of ESPN. Man, it is coming up extremely close. We are a week and a half, not even, away from the 2025 NFL Draft. What position will Green Bay go? Who will they take? We are about to unwrap those presents next week, but right now we still have a lot of things to cover as we get closer and closer to that NFL Draft. Happy 414 Day, by the way, which I was made aware of all of 3 minutes ago. I did not know that that was a thing. I knew that 414 was the area code because it used to cover Green Bay area as well. Now just more Milwaukee area. We got 920. Nobody said anything to me on September 20th here in Green Bay, but happy 414 Day nonetheless, April 14th. Tyler Dunn coming up today, Go Long TD, 8:20 a.m. Excited to talk some NFL Draft and some Green Bay Packers with him. As always, you are not only welcome, you are encouraged to join the show. You can join us on the Nicolet Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. My name is Andy Herman. I appreciate you guys being here. If this is your first time listening to the Pack-A-Day radio show, let me just tell you, we're not your normal radio show. We're going to talk all things Green Bay Packers, for the most part, for the next hour. We're going to talk a lot of Packer stuff. It's not just going to be your quiz shows, questions, surveys, etc. We are going to talk some real deep Packer stuff today. We're going to be going over pick 23, the most likely pick at that selection. We'll get into some other stuff as well, but thank you so much for being here. Before we get there, we're going to do our one little segment, not talking Green Bay Packers, and that's because I want to ask Tommy how his sports weekend was. That, by the way, was pretty epic when it comes down to it with the end of the NBA season. We've got the Masters, of course. We don't need to talk about the Brewers, even though we will, but overall, pretty exciting weekend for sports. Tommy, what was your agenda like, and what was your favorite things to watch this past weekend?
Yeah, it was a busy weekend. Two Brewers games on Saturday and Sunday. They did not go well. The Saturday game might be one of the most insane Brewer games I've ever seen an ending to ever. They were up by four in the ninth inning and just completely blew it and lost. And they I'll talk about it later. It was crazy. I did not.
You're welcome. Well, we can touch base on this. It was a major issue over the weekend.
They had one out, and they got a strike on the second batter of the inning, an 0-1 count with one out, and you're up by four, and you lose the game. I could not believe it. That was just absolutely insane, I thought. The next day, they obviously were underwhelming after the first inning as well, lose again. And then they go 500 on this road trip rather than winning the road trip. So pretty middle of the road for the Milwaukee Brewers. They're getting a lot healthier, it sounds like. But every time someone gets back, it feels like someone's getting set back, too. So Bucks, they close out their season with two wins against the Pistons. And they win, I believe it was 8 in a row to close out the year. Pat Connaughton, 40-10-5 was awesome. That's the fourth Buck to ever do that. And then the Masters was maybe the best Masters of all time.
It was a fantastic Masters, especially obviously the end of it. And, you know, you get to the opening part of yesterday and you're just and I think everyone was probably in this boat after you watched the first hole. It's like, this is no longer, you know, DeChambeau versus McIlroy. It was going to be like McIlroy wasn't even in the question. It's like, oh, we know what's coming here. You go double bogey on the opening hole.
Right.
And you're just like, yeah, this is done. It's not going to be his day. You can just almost like see it from the opening moments. And then like the very first shot, it was just like, yeah, this is not going to happen. And then you get to the last hole and it's like, all right, this is obviously going to be Rory's. And then he chokes that away. And then you're like, all right, this is clearly not going to be Rory. It somehow in the end, it was Rory. All's well that ends well. Very, very fun day back and forth. I thought it was tons of drama. I know I saw people just having like the anxiety of a Packers playoff game online of just like, this is going to happen again. It was a very entertaining day. It was one that I got to see the final shot on before the playoff, right before I had to bring the kiddo to soccer. And I'm like, oh, this is going on in the car in some capacity. We're not turning this off. And we were able to get it on. But yeah, it was an incredible day. And then just going back to the Brewers for a moment. First of all, I will say this. I thought one of the big things of the weekend, I know it's a crappy weekend overall, but Quintana coming back, throwing 7 scoreless.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome and a very encouraging sign moving forward just to kind of strengthen that rotation. Obviously, a very bitter pill to swallow on Saturday. What did you think of the decision? I know that this is going to be often discussed of like, why not just bring McGill in to start? He was already warmed up. It felt like maybe that just should have been his inning. It's 4-0. If you're going to have to bring him in anyway, if you get a couple base runners, maybe just bring him in the first place. But they go with Pyamps and then McGill. Thoughts on that decision?
Yeah, I have almost a backwards reaction to the whole situation. I thought they were way too timid with Pyamps from that time frame.
Sure.
More than McGill should have had the inning. I just think that if you're trying to put a guy in a situation who has struggled all season long, and you're trying to put him in a situation where he can get right and he can fix a little bit of what's gone wrong in the beginning of the season with Yoel Pyamps, he gets the first man out on 3 pitches, he gets a strike on the next batter, and then he throws 4 straight balls. They had McGill warming up, breathing on his neck the entire time during that process, meanwhile. He gives up the triple, immediately yanked. He gives up the one run, and then obviously he's responsible for the triple that's on base that McGill would give up too. But not only was it a terrible situation for McGill to come into, but it was a really terrible situation for Pyamps to be thrown into if that was his leash during that time. I thought they panicked so hard. I thought that was totally a loss on just overmanaging by Pat Murphy a little bit there, and I thought that they could have just stuck it out with Pyamps. Maybe if he gives up another run, then it's a problem. Or don't get McGill warmed up until there's a base runner. At least throw in the pitches. Have him stretched out maybe if you need it. But I thought they did Pyamps dirty just as much as they did McGill dirty.
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario. I see a lot of people, or I saw some people, I shouldn't say a lot. I saw some people lying being like, this is classic Pat Murphy. I'm like, wait, what? Like, this guy has only won the entire time he's basically been in Milwaukee. I think he gets a little bit of accident forgiveness, even if he mismanaged a 9th inning in one game there. So I'm not super concerned about Pat Murphy overall. He's been phenomenal, but maybe an interesting decision there in the 9th. Either way, they don't get that win. And then it would have been nice, especially up 2-0 on Sunday, to pick up that win. That also did not go according to plan. But you know what? New series starting today. We'll talk about that a little bit later as we talk about the leadoff show coming up later in segment 3. But we've got a lot of Packers to discuss, Tommy. So we are going to talk about this NFL draft, and more specifically, what direction Green Bay could potentially go in round one. We're going to talk about this in both of our segments today, not including Ty Dunn in segment two. Again, excited to talk to him. There have been, since I kind of label this as when Ted Thompson took over, there's been sort of a change in philosophy, at least from like Mike Sherman. Obviously, Ron Wolf, goes to Ted Thompson to Brian Gutekunst. There's been this obviously tree from Ron Wolf here for the most part. It's a little bit different under Mike Sherman, but I go back to the Aaron Rodgers selection. There's sort of like this kind of line in the sand of that's when things kind of changed a little bit philosophically for Green Bay, and you can kind of go through and check their trends and see what type of players they like and those sort of things. Since that point, there have been 23, what I am going to consider for this exercise, Tommy, first round selections. There are two of those players of those 23 that are technically not first round selections. Jordy Nelson and Kevin King, both of whom were very early second round picks. And for the sake of this, were the first players taken by the Packers in those particular drafts. They traded down to the beginning of round two and selected Nelson and Kevin King. For the sake of this exercise, we're counting both of them as the Packers' sort of first-round pick or pseudo-first-round pick in their specific draft. So there have been 23 of those players. Just to label them for you, Aaron Rodgers, A.J. Hawk, Justin Harrell, Jordy Nelson, Clay Matthews, B.J. Raji, Brian Bulaga, Derek Sherrod, Nick Perry, Dayton Jones, HaHa Clinton Dix, Demarius Randall, Kenny Clark, Kevin King, Jair Alexander, Darnell Savage, Rashawn Gary, Jordan Love, Eric Stokes, Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, LVN, and Jordan Morgan. Those are the 23 selections. And by looking at those 23 selections, we can actually learn quite a bit about what type of players that Green Bay tends to like in the draft. And that's what we're going to be going over today. So the first thing that is not necessarily of note, and I don't think necessarily something that can help you maybe predict the next pick, but is very interesting nonetheless. Tell me, of all those players I just named, I know you memorized them off the top of your head. What do you think the offense-defense split between those two, between those 23 are?
Well, there's two quarterbacks, and I don't even know if you named another one. Is it three, four offenses?
Six offensive players in the 23. 17 defensive players of their last 23, again, quote-unquote first-round picks, have been on defense, which is quite stunning considering this has really been an offensive team for the vast majority of the last 23 years.
Yeah.
But the only offensive players, so Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, who again, technically second rounder, but we're counting them here. Derek Sherrod was number three. Let's see. Jordan Love was four. All right, who am I missing? Oh, Jordan Morgan is five. I'm missing one other one.
Brian Bulaga,
thank you. We got six. There's our six. So those are our six. Defense went 17. So again, maybe not necessarily predicting the future, so to speak, but very interesting nonetheless that 17 out of 23 have been on defense. All right, here is the next, I think, sort of interesting one. And this one, I think, is a little bit more of, this kind of tells you what they like to do. 18 of the 23 are what I consider premium position players. Quarterback, offensive tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle, or corner. All right, so those are the five, again, quote-unquote, at least it would have been even sort of generally consensus considered your premium positions in quarterback, offensive tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle, and corner. 18 of the 23 have been premium position players. There have been a handful that have not. Those ones that have not, Quay Walker at linebacker, Darnell Savage at safety, HaHa Clinton Dix at safety, Jordy Nelson at wide receiver, and A.J. Hawk at linebacker. Those are the only ones that are quote-unquote non-premium positions. Now, with the change in the landscape and how much wide receivers are getting paid nowadays, I would very much argue, and I think most would as well, that wide receiver has entered this category. If you add that, then it's 19 out of the 23. But either way, I think wide receiver still needs to be in that conversation moving forward as a premium position. But this is not a team that usually dabbles in maybe the positions that are, again, considered a little less, I don't know if you want to say important or less premium, however you want to define it. But for the most part, this is a team that goes kind of big game hunting in the first round. The next one. Relative athletic score. Now, this is always a fun one to talk about if you're not familiar. Relative athletic score is a score developed by Kent Lee Platy. You can find it over on ras.football, I believe is what it is. this is a score that basically gives you your overall athleticism for your position. It's a great way to grade it. It's very intriguing. I do not believe Green Bay uses RAS or relative athletic scores. I'm sure they're probably aware of it at some point in time. I do think they have their own athletic metrics that they use, but what is interesting is you can very much tell based on relative athletic scores that Green Bay goes super athlete shopping in the first round of the draft. For example, a 9 RAS is a 90th percentile athlete at their given position. Green Bay, since the choice of Aaron Rodgers, of their 23 selections, 11 of them have had a relative athletic score of 9 or above, so have been 90th percentile athletes or better. 16 of the 23 have been a 8.0 RAS or above. 18 of the 23 have been 7 or above. 21 of the 23 have been 6 or above. And 23 out of 23 have been 5 or above. So they're not taking a guy, basically, that is under a 50th percentile athlete, at least not in the first round. Almost not in any rounds as of late, but certainly not in the first round. And you can really look at it as like 7 or above is 18 of the 23. Meanwhile, if you want to even take it a step further, their average relative athletic score is an 8.3. So they're usually, again, getting an 83rd percentile or better athlete in the first round. 12 in a row, their last 12, have been 8.0 or better. And 14 of their last 15 have been 8.0 or better. So in the Brian Gutekunst era, they are definitely going after these big athletes. And if you look at their last, let's go back to Kevin King. We'll start with Kevin King. 9.93, 9.49, 8.46, 9.95, 8.43, 9.42, 9.64, 9.66, 9.37, 9.25. Their lowest one since Eric Stokes has been 9.25 with Jordan Morgan this past year. They are drafting freak athletes. The only two that have not been 90th percentile athletes or better, going all the way back to Kevin King, have been Darnell Savage at an 8.46 and Jordan Love at an 8.43. And quite frankly, quarterbacks are just a little bit different. So this is a team that goes very high-end relative athletic score hunting. What that means, again, is they're just looking for premium athletes. So you can pretty much take it to the bank that they are going to go with a premium athlete in round one. The next one, as you're listening to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. The next one that you're looking at is Power 5 conferences, or like the major conferences, right? 22 of their 23 first-round selections have been from a major conference. The only one that has not was Jordan Love. That's the only player in those 23 selections that was not from a Power 5 conference. Every single other one was. And you can tell lately, they love their former Pac-12 players. They draft a lot from that West Coast area. Also, we've seen some Georgia players as of late, Eric Stokes, Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker. So if you're looking for some of the more small school type players, usually not going to be the selection in round one. The next intriguing one is age. This is another one. You may not think of age as being sort of that important, but when you're drafting someone, you kind of want them, you're hoping you're going to get them, especially in the first round, for that 5 year, you pick up their fifth year option, you get them for the first 5 years, and then you want to be able to hopefully keep them for a second contract that keeps them another 3 to 4 years. And if you're like 24 when you're drafted, if you play out that, 5 years, you're all of a sudden like going to be 29 at the start of your second contract. And you now have to question a little bit more of if you want to bring them in or bring them back for that second contract. So somebody that's 21, 22, it definitely has some advantages of being taken in that first round. Even Kenny Clark was age 20, and you can see how that's paid off for him. But of their 23 selections, 11 of the 23 have been 21 years old, and 9 of the 23 have been 22 years old. So 20 of the 23 have been 22 or under. That's a mouthful, but the vast majority have been 22 years old or younger. They usually do not go over age here. The differences were Devontae Wyatt, who did turn 24 in that first draft, was 23 at the time. Demaryius Randall was 23, and Justin Harrell was 23. So maybe just stay away from 23 years old. Randall, Harrell, and Devontae Wyatt. Wyatt's been fine, but it has not exactly been a trio that has worked out very well. So maybe younger is better for Green Bay. So that's been another interesting one. That's been basically the breakdown of what you can kind of look for what Green Bay likes to select in the first round. Just to kind of recap that for you, it's been primarily defense. They go premium positions 18 and or 19 out of the 23 times, depending if you're including wide receiver in that conversation. An average of 8.3 on the relative athletic score. Nobody under a score of 5.0, and 12 in a row, 8 or higher. And in, what did I say? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row of 9 or higher. 22 out of 23 have been from a Power 5 conference, and 20 out of 23 have been 22 or under. So your ideal player that you are looking for Brian Gutekunst and company, if you want to narrow things down as much as possible, you are looking at a premium position player with an 8.0 relative athletic score or higher that is in a Power 5 conference that is 22 years old or younger. If you narrow it down by that, you usually get pretty close. You might say, well, how did that work out for you last year, Andy? Well, when Green Bay got on the clock, I went through the top 50, and we're going to do this again in our third segment here. Went through our top 50 on the consensus big board last year, at least picks 10 through 50, because anyone that was in the top 10 was going to be gone. Went 10 through 50 and then narrowed it down by the players that I just mentioned. Premium position, relative athletic score, power conference, and age. And then also sort of took Green Bay's thresholds at certain positions into consideration, meaning Byron Murphy Jr. didn't meet height threshold that they usually look at. Nate Wiggins didn't meet their weight threshold, and Chop Robinson didn't meet height or weight thresholds. The players in the top 50 that were on that list that were actually available when Green Bay came up on the clock were Tyler Guyton, Kingsley Suamataea, Graham Barton, and Jordan Morgan. There were four players that hit the criteria that Green Bay usually looks for when Green Bay was on the clock. Now, Kingsley Suamataea did not go until the late second round, so he was never really in consideration there. So you can pretty much bet that the three guys that there were, you know, that hit the criteria that they were probably really looking at: Tyler Guyton, Graham Barton, Jordan Morgan. And who do they take? Jordan Morgan, of course. It's not an exact science. It's not perfect. It's not to say that they don't go out of the, you know, realm of, you know, consensus every once in a while. You know, they have gone, you know, below a you know, 9 RAS or an 8 RAS. Ha Clinton Dix was a 5.54. Derek Sherrod was a 6.25. Brian Bulaga was a 6.68. BJ Raji was a 5.50. Aaron Rodgers was a 6.32. Jordan Love was a non-Power 5 conference. As mentioned, Wyatt, Randall, and Justin Harrell were over 22 years old. It's not a perfect science, but it gets you pretty darn close. And last year, it narrowed it down pretty darn well to Jordan Morgan, and that's who they ultimately selected in the first round. So we get to our third segment today. I'll break down who is on that list for the Packers in 2025 and likely who they will be selecting from this season, or this draft, I should say. We'll get there momentarily. If you missed anything on The Fan, or if you are going to miss anything on The Fan this week, I know you want to catch up on everything, so make sure to download that Odyssey app or go to thefanmilwaukee.com, and you can catch anything that you might miss all week long. We will be back with Tyler Dunn in just a moment. This is the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We are back here on the Packaday Radio Show. Thanks so much for being here. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next, 9 to 11. Tommy and Sparky hosting the show today, so looking forward to that. Also, if you missed the huge announcement on Friday, after every playoff game, we're going to have the Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, right here on 1250 AM and 105.7 the FM, and the free Odyssey app. That is an exciting piece of news that came out on Friday. So a Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show again with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Make sure to check that out. Right now, we are being joined by Tyler Dunn, GoLongTD.com. You can find him on social media at Ty Dunn. Ty, it is great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How have you been, Andy?
I am fantastic. I am so stoked for this year's draft. I am eagerly awaiting it, but also wanting to put it off as long as possible so I can watch more and more of these players ahead of time. But it is a beautiful time of year. I know you're excited about it as well. Let me just start by asking you this. What are your big things in this 2025 draft that you are looking forward to, keeping an eye on, that you cannot wait to see what happens come draft day?
You know what's funny to me, and this has happened years past, as we have all of this time to hyper-analyze and over-analyze. I mean, they could have had this draft, what, 2-3 weeks ago, really. Have the combine, then have the draft. But this is part of the NFL machine. It's what Roger wants, what the owners want. And they're smarter than us with monetizing the unknown. At the same time, like, I feel like everybody's kind of coming around to the fact that there probably will be several quarterbacks drafted in the top two rounds, maybe even the first round. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if a Jalen Milroe sneaks in there at this point. This Derek Carr news in New Orleans is really fascinating, and the position is just too important. You've got to have a quarterback. There's not a lot of supply. There's a hell of a lot of demand, and I think we're going to see teams draft quarterbacks. I mean, God, I said this a few years ago in the Kenny Pickett draft, and it just didn't happen. There weren't many good options available that season, but I feel like there's enough intrigue in some of these quarterbacks and enough ego in these coaching staffs that you're going to see these quarterbacks get taken in the first round. So, I'm not going to be in Green Bay myself. I'm going to go to New Jersey and hang around the Giants for round one and round two, because that is one team that, I mean, there's jobs on the line. Do they take a quarterback? When do they take a quarterback? You just take a Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. But there's a lot to get excited about this draft. I think, back at the combine, it didn't seem like that was the case. I was kind of bumming out that there wasn't the name power, wasn't the quarterback recognition that you get in other years. But I think there's a lot to love.
I think there's a lot of intrigue. I think where Travis Hunter goes is really interesting. Shedeur Sanders, another one. How many quarterbacks go in round one? Is it Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter at pick two and three? Last year, to your point, I don't think we were expecting Michael Penix and some of those quarterbacks to go quite as early as they went. And again, the power of that position compels a lot of teams to kind of go very aggressive in that direction early on. I'm sure there's going to be a surprise pick or two. And then I think after that kind of first tier of players, maybe the first five, six guys, I think then you get to maybe even eight guys. There comes a tier where, between picks.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
9 and 30, I don't think there's a huge ton of difference. I could see these guys going in so many different areas. If you told me guys like Mykal Williams and Shamar Stewart went very early, I could see it. If you told me they went way later, Derek Harmon, same thing. I could totally see that as well. That to me is what's so intriguing, is just what order these players come off. And then, of course, from a Green Bay standpoint, how many of the players that, of course, Packer fans like are still left at pick 23. Hopefully, fingers crossed, a lot of those quarterbacks do go early, Ty, because that would be an advantageous situation for Green Bay.
And I think the Packer fans get that wish, and I think there are lessons to learn from, obviously, the Packers. I mean, the conviction that they had in Jordan Love, We've talked about it, Andy, but to take a Utah State quarterback, knowing damn well it's going to piss off your MVP quarterback and he's going to have the tequila and maybe hold you hostage a year later, it got really ugly. But being Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, they knew the ramifications of that, and guess what? They did it anyways because they had conviction in Jordan Love. They know how important the position is, and I think that the Atlanta Falcons last year sent another message. Yeah, they paid Kirk Cousins, and I don't think Arthur Blank is that thrilled about needing to flush $100 million guaranteed down the toilet, but they had conviction in Michael Penix. Raheem Morris tells the story. He's at that pro day. He can just hear and see that spiral whistling over his head on the field for Michael Penix, and they kind of fall in love with this guy. I remember sitting down with Terry Fontenot around the same time. You could tell that they had infatuation in a prospect and that they were going to sign somebody and draft somebody. It's too important. And if you've got a chance, if you're a general manager, wouldn't you rather go down swinging? If you believe in a quarterback, just take that quarterback, trade up for that quarterback, part with draft capital, do whatever you have to do to get that guy. Otherwise, you might get fired anyways. So, yeah, I think Jackson Dart goes soon. I mean, like I mentioned, Jalen Milrow, maybe he goes sooner than people think. Tyler Shuck. There could be a rush on quarterbacks because all it takes is one GM, one coach to believe.
Yeah, it's very much the case, and there are certainly some teams that are going to be desperate for some quarterbacks in this draft, whether the talent says they should go in the first round or not. And like you said, it's very, very close, and we know these teams get aggressive with it. By the way, $100 million for Arthur Blank, that's just couch cushion money anyway, so that's he's not losing any sleep over that. But you know, as you kind of look at this draft, I know, Ty, you have spent time in Green Bay. What are your expectations just for the city of Green Bay hosting this draft, and what do you think this is going to look like?
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm just laughing because I can remember, God, I lived out there like 2011 through 2015, and I loved it. I mean, I'm a small-town country guy myself, so I loved the small-town nature of everything. I mean, there were many nights, you know, going out with a couple buddies, you know, there at Fox Harbor Pub or Hagemeister and having a beer or two, and it's like, man, you feel like you and your few friends are the only people out on that given night, and it was amazing. So to imagine, 600,000-700,000 people just invading Green Bay, Wisconsin, it's unbelievable. I mean, logistically, I don't even know how it's possible. People much smarter than myself have figured that out. I guess they're not all kind of coming in at once. So when it sprawls over a few different days, and maybe people enjoy Milwaukee and Madison and they're throughout the state of Wisconsin. But I think, number one, it's a testament to Mark Murphy. The fact that he was able to build up that Titletown district is mind-blowing. I mean, I think when I was out there, that side of the stadium, you had an old Kmart and a Subway attached to the gas station, and that was about it. There wasn't much going on, and he's basically built his own town on that side of the river around the stadium, so that's what makes it possible, and it'll be a feather in his cap. It'll be part of his legacy right there with, you know, the quarterback decisions, you know, sticking with Aaron Rodgers when Brett Favre wants to come back and turning the page to Jordan Love when Aaron Rodgers was unhappy and slipping into the darkness. So it's absolutely near the top of that resume as he kind of heads off into retirement.
What I kind of think of it as with Mark Murphy is he took this nice little like Spider-Man franchise that was really well loved and everyone liked it and it was awesome, and he turned it into the Marvel Universe. Like, it is now a spectacle. It is now a scene. It is now, you know, must see. Everyone needs to get to Lambeau in the Titletown District. Like, it is now, it's full fledged, and he's done just a phenomenal job making it, like you said, almost like a town and an entity in and of itself. And I think it's only going to get bigger and bigger. And the fact that the NFL freaking draft is going to be held there is again a huge testament to him. So I totally agree, and very well said. As we look at the Packers in this draft, as we're talking to Ty Dunn, golongtd.com, and again on social media at Ty Dunn, what do you feel like Green Bay needs to accomplish in this draft in order to have a successful 2025 NFL draft?
Well, if little old Green Bay can host an NFL draft, anything's possible. So maybe they do draft a wide receiver in round one, Andy. This is
all
the
right
year. This is the year. There's maybe aliens land on Earth and visit the draft as well. And all I poke fun. They've been drafted so many in the second round. It's such like an ongoing joke. I always just roll my eyes when that graphic is thrown on the screen. Oh, they never do anything at receiver. They've given Aaron Rodgers no help. But But really, they're kind of in that perfect range to get a top receiver in this draft. And I know there's other needs. And, I mean, surely you'd love to add an edge rusher or a piece for the defense. Look, you paid Jordan Love $55 million a year. Your organization is going to run through him. This is a pass-first, pass-often league. You've got to get into these January games and be willing to, as Leroy Butler told me on our podcast a couple weeks ago, give him the keys. This is year three as a starter. Give him some freedom. Give him some weapons. You can never have too many weapons at receiver. I mean, they're down to, you know, to Bo Melton by the end of last year. Malik Heath, like, injuries happen as well. There will be attrition. You can't assume that this deep receiving core is going to stay healthy. I just love, like, Matthew Golden. I mean, who knows if he lasts that long and maybe even have to move up for him. But out of that whole group of receivers, him or Tet McMillan, obviously, I think Golden is ascending. You know, he had the couple just average years at Houston, but with Texas, when they needed a play, I'm sure you've been breaking it down yourself, Andy.
Yep.
He's the one making the play. You know, he's got one hand tied behind his back, making the one-handed catch, catching deep balls. He's got 4.2 speed. And I think even more than that, he is as high character as it gets. It just sounds like this is somebody that you want in your locker room. So there's a good chance that, you know, he's moving up people's boards and he goes earlier, but I just would try to get him through hell and high water. I'd say the same thing for the Buffalo Bills here in Western New York. You've got Josh Allen, get a weapon. You can't have too many of them.
Yeah, I did a mock draft for the podcast today. Your Buffalo Bills, I had them taking Luther Burden. So, you know, trying to get, they were familiar with Stephon Diggs, get another player like Stephon Diggs and Luther Burden. But with Green Bay, the old Potawatomi Sportsbook, plus 700 at wide receiver right now in the first round, or at least with their first pick in the draft. So they know Green Bay's tendencies, but I do actually agree with you. I do think this could be the year that maybe they go, and Matthew Golden is a really fun player. Not a apples to apples sort of comp for Golden. I don't think they're exactly the same player, a little bit at same height, weight. Golden tests a little bit faster, but the player that I think he could come in and sort of emulate that had so much success for Aaron Rodgers when he was starting to come into his own is Greg Jennings. Jennings wasn't necessarily the flashiest wide receiver with all the different crazy skill sets or anything. He's just a really good route runner, good hands catcher, good run after the catch guy. I think Jennings was a little bit stronger, Golden a little bit faster, but overall, that type of impact I think is what Golden could bring to this team, and I think he'd be a really good fit for Green Bay.
I love it. And I want to get your, I want to ask you a question. Has Greg Jennings been welcomed back from the cornfield? Are fans okay appreciating one of the best wide receivers that has ever played for the Green Bay Packers? I know he was honest when it came to a certain quarterback. All the guy was doing was answering my questions as he literally was getting onto an airplane and only stopped our phone call because his plane was taking off and he couldn't be on his phone any longer. He's just answering questions. But I don't know. I know he's in the Hall of Fame out there now.
Yep.
Are fans okay with Greg Jennings? I hope they are.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's mostly just kind of like forgotten at this point. I don't, you know, it's tough to say. And I think the sort of, you know, nuance of that is obviously things have changed somewhat for Aaron Rodgers as well. So now I think maybe there's somewhat of a different light of some of the things that he was saying then that maybe are a little bit different now. But I don't know. I can't speak for everyone. I think there was also a little bit of separation of church and state by just being like, listen, you know, Greg Jennings, the Packer on the team was always phenomenal. There was no question in that. And then, of course, the fact he goes to Minnesota and then, you know, says the things at the time that maybe weren't taken as kindly, whatever the case may be. But I don't think there's any real leftover angst or frustration with Greg Jennings, but obviously I cannot be the speaker of all things Packers for everyone in this scenario. But I think for the most part, again, Packers Hall of Famer, like you said, hopefully he's been, you know, kind of welcomed back in the good graces and everything's water under the bridge at this point. All right,
man,
let's get to
07 to 2011 stretch was just insane.
Oh, it's so good.
Really, he was.
It's
so
honestly
good.
One of the most underrated Packers players. Like what he brought to the team. I mean, he was so incredibly good. All right, again, we're being joined by Tyler Dunn, Go Long TD. Make sure to check out Go Long TD. It is so freaking good. And you can find him, of course, on social media as well, at Ty Dunn. I want to talk about a couple of those quarterbacks really quick. Jordan Love, what does he need to do? How important is this 2025 season for him? You mentioned Leroy Butler saying, you know, give him the keys. Then also, our old friend, Aaron Rodgers. What the heck? Where does he play in 2025? I want to know your answers to those two questions.
Oh, my gosh. I guess with Rodgers, you know, I said it at the time, when this was first kind of going down, the first week of free agency, right? There's the first manic rush, and everybody's kind of figuring out where these quarterbacks are going to go. I said, look, everybody's just playing on Aaron Rodgers' time. Like, we've seen this. There will be no rush. He won't feel compelled to make a decision just because you would like to get your business in order in the middle of March. Like, this is going to drag on for several weeks, a month and a half. It seems, if you believe, like, the reporting, and there's no reason to not believe the reporting, that, like, contract details with the Steelers, I would think are pretty much worked out. You know, Leroy, he called it a conspiracy theory. I don't even know how conspiratorial it is. He's probably dead on. Aaron's probably letting this go on and on and on because he doesn't really want to be around for off-season workouts and maybe even OTAs, and there might be a little bit of a power play. You know, Arthur Smith has his offense with Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers has his offense that he's always ran. Like, maybe there's some of that behind the scenes going on, and everybody's kind of staring each other down. Who knows? I would think he gets to the Steelers. You know, the Steelers are going to draft a quarterback regardless. I guess they got Mason Rudolph around, but this is a team with T.J. Watt, with Cam Hayward, with Mika Fitzpatrick. Now, Watt's unhappy, it seems. You know, he has the Deuces Instagram photo out. He wants a new contract. But they're built to win now. And Mike Tomlin seems to love Aaron Rodgers. And Art Rooney has said nice things. Maybe they work it out. I don't know when, but I think that's where he's going to go. And they'll just do what they always do. They'll win 8 or 9 games. Maybe they make the playoffs, but they're not good enough to beat Cincinnati or Baltimore in their own division with Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love, I mean, who doesn't love Josh Jacobs in this Packers offense, just punching defenses in the jaw? It was a beautiful sight late last season. They were tough. They added physicality. There was some real masculinity up front that has been missing in so many Januaries past. But what happened, Andy? Like, you get into these games, you've got to unleash your quarterback still. So, I think, yeah, I agree with Leroy on that point. Like, you've got to kind of let him push the ball downfield, maybe give him some more freedom at the line of scrimmage. Obviously, you want better health from your quarterback, better health from his receivers. That was absolutely a factor. Suffered an injury in week one right out of the chute. You've got to deal with that as a quarterback. So, you know, I'm still bullish on Jordan Love. He's special. He's got the athleticism. He's got the arm. Hopefully, you see some more of that athleticism this year. He can run. You know, use those legs a little bit more. But I think that they have their quarterback, and this is a team that will be in the Super Bowl hunt, and he's a quarterback that will be in the MVP hunt. He just has it. He's going to work. He's going to put in the time, and I think he'll naturally kind of figure out when to speak up, how to speak up in his way. I know that's something Matt LaFleur wants out of him this year.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an important aspect for him as well. I do think this is a very important year, almost as more of like a floor setter for Jordan, and maybe a ceiling setter as well, of like what just how good can he be, and can he show it consistently through the course of 2025? I think it's a very important year for him. All right, Tyler, before we get you out of here, got to ask you your official prediction for the Packers pick at pick 23. Who you got? We're keeping track of it. We've had 5 different predictions so far, 5 different players. Let's see if we can make it a 6 today. Who are you expecting for the Packers, or at least predicting for the Packers at pick 23?
All right, let's speak it into existence. Wide receiver Matthew Golden.
Let's
see if that happens. I know it's never happening. They're never drafting receivers in the first round, but hey, it's in Green Bay. It'll add a little electricity to the atmosphere, and I just love this prospect. I think a lot of NFL teams do too. I mean, everybody's read Bob McKinn's series for years and years, and there's a lot of good, bad, and ugly in these guys, and a lot of unsavory things said. I mean, these are investigators getting to know these prospects on a deep level. The scouts love Matthew Golden. I it's hard to find a bad word said about this guy other than his size, I guess. And, I mean, you can't touch these receivers in 2025. I didn't think it's that big of a deal. Look what Xavier Worthy did last year for the Chiefs.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's worthwhile to invest in those players. We've seen how important they are. And Matthew Golden, I do think if he's there, makes a ton of sense for Green Bay. We now have 6 different predictions, 6 different players: Shamar Stewart, Trey Amos, Max Harrison, Josh Simmons, Derek Harmon, and Matthew Golden. We'll see if we get a 7th tomorrow when we have Kyle Malzahn on. Tyler, great talking to you. Tell us all about Go Long TD, and specifically as well about Bob McGinn's incredible draft series as well.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Always great catching up. But yeah, Bob has his 12-part series up at golongtd.com, all exclusive to our subscribers. I mean, geez, he's talking to scouts all over the country, execs, coaches, and just trying to give people, you know, a true reflection of how the NFL views these prospects. And like I said, it's not always going to be pretty, but you know, it's not always pretty for these prospects once they get to the NFL too. I remember last year, his scout's nightmare at receiver, I think it was Jermaine Burton, and look at what happened to him in Cincinnati last year. He's benched for the last game for some, you know, really unbelievably disgusting behavior. So yeah, not to be all gloom and doom, but look, jobs are on the line. I mean, these coaches, these GMs, there are jobs on the line. Fans' sanity is on the line. You've got to nail these draft picks, and it's a big one for Green Bay. They're right on the cusp. So yeah, great time to subscribe, read Bob's stuff, and I'm chipping away at some bigger Packers stories myself that people will see in the coming weeks and months.
Really looking forward to that. Again, follow him at Ty Dunn on social media. Go to golongtd.com. Make sure to subscribe there as well. Tyler, cannot thank you enough. We'll be in touch soon and enjoy the draft.
Hey, you as well, Andy. Appreciate you having me, man.
You bet. Anytime. You are always welcome. That is Tyler Dunn. Again, golongtd.com. We are going to be back finishing up who the most likely Packers are based on historical trends here in just a moment. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Will Johnson, who's our collective number two corner in this year's class, still love this guy. I think this guy is as smart as it comes as a corner. Outstanding, outstanding play recognition. When I was watching his tape from even his freshman year, because I turned that on too, he recognizes routes at such a high level. I do think injuries were a big part of the season. I do think he's suffering a lot of injuries, not just the turf toe. He has been a dominant player in college football. In his true freshman year, 91.1 grade in man coverage, led all Power 5 corners. In fact, it was tied for the best in the country with Quinyon Mitchell. As a sophomore, 29.1 passer rating allowed, fifth among all corners in the nation. On six targets against Marvin Harrison Jr. and Rome Odunze last year, Johnson allowed just three catches and had an interception. So he had allowed a 50% completion rate against those two top 10 picks and came down with an interception as well. And he has really good size at 6'2", 194. Since his freshman year, has been phenomenal.
We are back here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. A huge thank you to Tyler Dunn for joining us last segment. That Will Johnson audio was courtesy of Pro Football Focus. Certainly somebody that could be in play for Green Bay at 23 if, and this is a major if, he makes it to pick 23. But if he's there, I have a sneaky suspicion that he could be the choice at that spot. Also, we've got the leadoff show coming up later today, another Brewers game, which means another epic leadoff show with one Tommy Wirtz. Tommy, what do you got coming up in the leadoff show today?
Yeah, leadoff show should be good. Starting back at home, Detroit's in town for Milwaukee, coming off the two bad losses, looking to bounce back into the win column today. We'll get you all caught up starting at 5:30 today here on The Fan.
That's a beautiful thing. Looking forward to that. Also, we've got a little bit of breaking news here for the Green Bay Packers, which is a rare on a Monday morning at 8:50, but we get some breaking news nonetheless. Per one Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet on social media, Giants free agent linebacker Isaiah Simmons is visiting the Packers today, a source said. An intriguing potential addition. Simmons has played for the New York Giants for the past two seasons, a 2020 number 8 overall pick by the Arizona Cardinals. So why would Green Bay be interested in Isaiah Simmons? A couple things. Number one, he brought up linebacker there. Isaiah Simmons has played both linebacker and safety in the NFL. That is a very interesting piece, and he's gone sort of back and forth. Coming out of college, they weren't sure what position he was going to play. Played linebacker more recently, has played some safety for the Giants as well. So this is somebody that can actually back up multiple positions and is sort of that hybrid safety linebacker, you know, kind of player that can play in some obvious passing downs at the linebacker spot, despite having a little bit more of that kind of safety physique. So a very intriguing player that I'm sure when you talk about versatility, Jeff Affley would get the most out of. Number two, Simmons has played 370 special team snaps over the course of the past two seasons and had an 88.2 grade on special teams from PFF this past season. So that is a very interesting piece of this, where if you're looking at kind of back of the roster safety slash linebacker guys, you want those guys to be able to be really great at special teams. And Isaiah Simmons has been that over the course of the past couple seasons. And then the other thing is, if you look at this draft and what Green Bay is trying to accomplish, What they are probably not trying to accomplish is having to take linebackers and safeties. They have no need for really any safeties. And linebacker, they've kind of got their top four, right? I don't think they really need to bring in any competition. You've got Edge Cooper, you've got Quay Walker, who's probably going to get a contract extension here at some point, or at least pick up the fifth-year option or something like it. You have Isaiah McDuffie just resigned, and they spent a third-round pick on Tyron Hopper this past year. So late day three certainly could take a linebacker or two just to add some depth. But getting an Isaiah Simmons ahead of the draft just even limits more that you don't really maybe need to go shopping for linebacker or safety in the draft. So that could get them ahead of things a little bit as well. So interesting player that they are bringing in. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to sign him, but sometimes those things do lead to deals, and that would be a very intriguing signing for the back of the roster for your Green Bay Packers. All right, if you missed the first segment right here on the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, we went over the most likely sort of what trends Green Bay usually takes in the first round, the historical trends. What we found out is that 18 of the 23 times it's a premium position player. They usually go with a relative athletic score of 8.0 or higher and have gone 9.0 or higher in the last six selections. And then, it's been basically 12 of the last 12 have been 8 or higher from a relative athletic score standpoint. So they're looking for premium athletes. Power conference players, 22 out of 23, and 20 of their last 23 first round picks have been 22 years of age or under. And last year, we were able to narrow that down pretty well to get to only a handful of players, which included Jordan Morgan on that list. This year, I would love to tell you, look, we used all of those filters, and now there's a handful of guys left, and we pretty much know who Green Bay is going to take. Here's the problem. If you go through the consensus big board, picks 10 through 50, and you go premium positions, including wide receivers, but not including quarterbacks, because I think we can agree Green Bay is not going to take a quarterback, you are left with 29 players, all right, just based on the premium position filter in and of itself. But that's just the premium position filter. So let's narrow that down a little bit more. And clearly, let's take off some of the small schools, the relative athletic score thresholds. Let's take off all of those. We unfortunately only eliminate five more players. I'm going to eliminate six. I'm going to eliminate Jahdae Barron because I think he's going to be gone. Mike Green, he does not meet the Packers' usual thresholds for an off-ball linebacker, an edge rusher, I should say, defensive end. He has some off-field concerns as well. James Pierce does not meet the thresholds. Gray Zabel is a non-premium position if you consider him an interior offensive lineman, is from a small school and does not hit the age thresholds. Siobhan Revelle has the injury and then is a non-Power 5 conference and doesn't meet the age thing, as well as Darius Alexander, 25 in August and from a non-Power conference. Those are the only ones that you could really kind of eliminate. That leaves you with 23 players, all right? If you limit it to the players that are more likely going to be selected in Green Bay's range, or at least could be, it leaves you with Tet McMillan, Will Johnson, Kelvin Banks, Shamar Stewart, Michael Williams, Matthew Golden, Kenneth Grant, Josh Simmons, Walter Nolan, Derek Harmon, Donovan Ezeraku, who doesn't quite meet some of the height and weight thresholds, but we're going to keep him on there nonetheless. Emeka Egbuka, Luther Burden, Max Harrison, and Landon Jackson. Of that, I'm going to narrow it down even more. I don't think Luther Burden is their type at wide receiver. I don't think they're going to go with an injured Josh Simmons at offensive tackle. I also think left tackle with Kelvin Banks is probably a little bit overkill, so I'm taking them off. Donovan Ezeraku does not meet their height weight threshold, so I'm going to take him off as well, which leaves you with about 10 players. I'm going to go an honorable mention as well. I wish I could narrow it down more than that. I wish I could tell you that these are the three that you should keep an eye on, but here are the, I'm just going to say 11 that I think you should really hone in on if you are a Packers fan for who they are likely to select at pick 23. And with that, we're out of time. We'll talk about it tomorrow. I'm just kidding. Max Harrison is the honorable mention, corner out of Kentucky. Landon Jackson, the defensive end out of Arkansas. Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. Walter Nolan, defensive tackle, Ole Miss. Tet McMillan, wide receiver, Arizona. Matthew Golden, wide receiver, Texas. And then you get into the top five, which if I were to narrow it down, would be where I think this, they ultimately go as one of these five. And that is Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle out of Michigan. Michael Williams, the outside linebacker slash defensive end out of Georgia. Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan. Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon. And Shamar Stewart, the defensive end out of Texas A&M. If I were breaking it down today, guessing today, I would say my guess is either Will Johnson, Derek Harmon, or Shamar Stewart, one of those three. I would narrow it down to those three. But could go in a variety of different directions. I think that's the way you can limit it. I wish, like I said, that it was cleaner like last year where you could narrow it down to a handful of guys. The issue is not a lot of guys did athletic testing this year, so it was very hard to limit it by that sort of situation. So I think it gets down to, again, those final four or five, Stewart, Harmon, Johnson, Williams, maybe Kenneth Grant, Matthew Golden as well, but a lot more difficult to narrow it this year, which makes this draft a lot more unpredictable and a lot more intriguing if you are a Packers fan, which I know you are because you're listening to the Packaday radio show right here on The Fan. All right, that is going to do it for us today. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We will be back tomorrow with an all-new episode. A huge thank you to Tommy for his A-plus producer work, as always. Stay tuned for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on The Fan. You can find the Packaday Podcast 365 days a year wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with Kyle Malzahn. This has been the Packaday Radio Show. Enjoy your Monday, everyone. And of course, go Pack, go.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.